Blog Talk Radio.
I have learned that when people seem to be a threat for whether it's climate change, economic change, or anything, or any kind of change where it's to look or repair, I'm going to use the term repair a situation, there is a, I say, a greed factor or demon-minded idea, you know, on a consistent basis. Where, you know, let's take Greenpeace. Greenpeace gets in these boats. They try to save the whales and their attributes and everything that they do is to change a condition of the way people either are hunting for an animal or climate change. They put themselves out there, position, to try to affect the whole world's climate. But there's people in certain industries that don't like that because they want to hunt for the whales, they want to kill animals and beat them down. Okay? Protect that environment because every animal has a purpose in this world, even down to the gnat, okay, or a mosquito, or anything, any form of animal has a purpose on this earth, and we have to look at that purpose and say, okay, is me killing all these animals justice for the earth? So since the earth can't really speak for itself, and it does speak, we have to be able to provide a opportunity to balance the earth. Okay, let's get into another one. To fight injustice on any front, there are five tools that you need. One, and the most important one, is information, knowledge. You must gain knowledge of the injustice or injustice situation in your environment. If it's a criminal matter, study the local law, the state law, the federal law, if that is in your surrounding areas. If we look at it again, and we go into that first step, we also want to look at the basis of where is that resource of knowledge coming from and study the resources of that knowledge. And we have to get into that on a deeper level where you are projecting a great understanding. So when you face the adversaries or the verses or vices that try to stop you from making a proper change, you are more prepared. Am I right or wrong? You know? So what I want to do is basically get into the next part, which is the second part. If you are trying to make these changes in the environment, and let you all know, we're going to not just segue into it, but I'm going to just say this. We've talked about the five pillars of change on our RSS platform. So everybody get a chance. When you get a chance, go on the RSS, our RSS radio station, and go to the website and click on the RSS. And listen to that platform about the five steps or signals of change. If we look at that, we can be able to have a better understanding of seeing a better life for ourselves, as well as a better way of communicating our situations and able to make a balanced way of living. Now, the next step we can go into will be, once you have the knowledge, you've done the research, we go into the applying it. If it's a financial situation and you do not have the finances to make the change, there's always some public resources that is available for you to make effective change. And if there's not, you can create those resources by finding out how can you change. Remember, every state, every country has different laws of weighing your voice and making yourself known so that you can be an effective change to your environment or your community. Brother Cooper, do you have any suggestions or anything you would like to add as far as how to change an environment where it's unjust or injustice is apparent?
Sure, Brother Alfred. If we're going to talk about injustice, right, the undoing of justice, the opposite of justice, the anti-justice, first we have to look at the fact that when we're talking about environments are always important. So environments are important because, environments are always important because we're going to have to be in a situation where whatever our environment is, that's where we stay. So, if your environment is poor, then you will have a poor mindset. You will eat poorly. You will think poorly. You will build poorly. You will save poorly. You will produce poorly. If you have an environment that is rich, everything I said about that which is poor, done in a poor environment, will be done in a rich manner in a rich environment. And it's just like if you go outside. If you go outside and you're going to plant something, if you plant something in your environment and the soil is poor, you will produce poor crop. And even if the crop grows to where you see leaves and you see tons of vegetation, you will not be able to really ever eat from that vegetation. It will not grow. It will not have seeds, etc. So one of the things that we have to talk about is the changing of it, like you said. And so how do we change that environment? We change that environment in several ways. First of all, one thing I think that we have to understand is that as leaders, we don't have to necessarily lead the people as much as we have to lead the environment. I'm going to say that again.
Right.
Because a lot of people miss that. But the best leaders don't actually lead people as much as they lead environments. So, for example, I have different people that do things with us, and we do different things. We have different meetings. We feed people around the world. We teach classes, et cetera, et cetera. These are great things that we have an opportunity to do, but I don't necessarily do it from the point of view to where I am leading the people specifically if I lead an environment. So my environment is one that allows people to come into a place of love. My environment is one that people see that in my environment I am disciplined. In my environment I stretch. In my environment I teach myself how to fight. In my environment I study consistently. In my environment I homeschool. In my environment, you know, we teach different canonical points of view better than sometimes they are taught in their own places of worship. In our environment, we believe that truth creates freedom. In our environment, we're very much so attached to our culture. And so people are attracted not necessarily to me, but to the environment that I produce. And so a lot of people don't understand. Your goal is not to try and necessarily rule over or make people do what you're supposed to do. But if your environment is one that's in place, that's what people are attracted to. For those of us, since we're on NSF or we're connected to NSFatherhood.org, for those of us who are trying to be greater fathers, greater men, and leaders of environment, your woman, your children, the people who will work for your businesses, et cetera, they are not attracted to you. They are attracted to what your environment produces. And so if they walk into my environment and they see that my environment is already flourish in my environment, even if it's not making millions, yet my environment helps people to be able to create their own future and be freed of a system that is against them and causing injustice, then leave the unjust system to try and find out what is so just about this system. And so even when people question us, you have to understand that the questioning us is not always necessarily them being angry or upset or coming against us or being racist or being anti-men. A lot of times they've been in an unjust system so long that they see something different and they recognize the differences, but they're so indoctrinated by the falsehoods of the unjust system that they begin to question, because they've never seen, a lot of black women, if we be honest, have never seen a just man. If we be honest, a lot of black women have never seen a just father. A lot of black women have never seen a just worshiper of you know, whatever your God belief is. But a lot of women have never, black women have never seen that. And even when they have seen it, they've been told by society why that's fool's gold. But when they see that it's actually something that they should participate in and put their efforts behind as well, they will do so because they see that our environment is one that we lead well. And therefore, anybody that comes into your environment, they will automatically be led, not because they're necessarily being led by you, but they're being led by the environment. They don't recognize that the environment was put in place by you, and hopefully not just by you, but by something that's greater than you, and then your environment will flourish.
Hey, hold on, say that again. That is what? Greater than what?
So hopefully your environment is not something that's necessarily even though you put it in place, hopefully your environment is greater than you. And it's greater than you because what you're basing your environment off of is something that's greater than you, whether that's your viewpoint of God, whether that's you want your community to increase, whether you want, you know, whatever it is, it has to be bigger. Because if your goal is just to be something that's good for you and that's what you're creating, then of course it's not going to be good for anybody else because it's only valuable for you. But if your vision is bigger than yourself, then people will flock to it, because if it's too big for you, you can't handle it anyways, which means now people are coming for the overflow. They're coming because they realize that there's some riches for them, there's some peace for them, there's some justice for them, et cetera. So if it's bigger than you, people will come to it not just because it's good, not just because it's just, but it's so just that it will help even the person coming in to be able to grow and get rid of injustice.
Right, right. And, you know, I want to just give an example of an imbalanced situation. I was at Walmart with somebody. I was sitting in the car waiting for them to come out. And I met a couple guys. I was talking about National Day of Fatherhood. I handed the card, my business card, to them. And one guy said, "Man, where you been?" I was like, "Yeah, it's good. I need something like this." I said, "Okay, cool. Give us a call sometime." Other guys started saying, "I'm not really here." The card. And I said, "Well, hold on till you might need it." The reason he gave the card back was because he felt that he can't get justice in an unjust society. He's so pulled back from participating in whether it's his children or child's life that he's sleeping in the woods. He's homeless on purpose, because he does not want to be able to subjugated to a system where he can't survive as a father and look like a productive father. And because he's not looking like a productive father, he withdraws from society. And next step he goes to even further is now he's shooting up cocaine, meth, doing drugs. He's drinking all the time. He doesn't, you know, he's stealing what he needs. He's in survival mode instead of being in productive mode. And this person, it was going through this, and he's been going through this for, I think he said 8 years now. He hasn't been able to contact his child or be involved in it, and it diminished his mind so bad that he put himself in a negative environment. And because he's in that negative environment, his mindset is completely demolished and thinking that he doesn't need to participate. So he goes from a potential good father into a negative, which is a bad father, you know, and given a chain or producing a chain of events where that child now can become or has a greater risk of turning into a negative child and a negative human being, whether it's male or female, you know, and that makes, if it's a girl, she does not understand, as you just stated, she does not know what a good father or a just father looks like. And to quote the minister, Minister Paragon, he wants to state a statement that the woman or the black woman is the most neglected species in the world. And the reason that is because the father aspect or dynamic is not in the household. To God, because if a man's job is to protect the family and to guard the family and be alert on which is the right path, which is the wrong path, she has no clue from a male's perspective of what a just man looks like. And when you don't have those aspects, you know, you gotta understand that if you don't have those aspects in place, you're going to produce a negative community, a negative environment. And we have to be able to produce proper environment. So I just wanted to get into that part with y'all today. And I want you to think about these things, you know. And I want to know what your opinion is. I want you to tune in next Thursday with us. We are going to be talking about
this Saturday on Kofi Speaks, which we have every Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m., and we'll be on again. Saturday, 1 o'clock p.m., that's New York time, Eastern time, or Standard Eastern time, depending on how you look at time. And we're actually going to be speaking on a five-fold plan, right, of how we as black fathers, how we learn. So there's going to be five parts to it. It's going to be about being smart, being intelligent, having knowledge, having power, and then having wisdom in that order. And we'll talk about that a lot more. So, you know, we hope that you come and join us. It'll be from 1 to 2. And as always, we'll be talking about things from the perspective of a black father and how we should be able to use these things in our home to help our families become stronger. And once again, to help us to not be in an unjust system, but to make sure that we bring justice, starting with our own communities and our own homes.